Dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Coming up next is a sermon from our 2016 Building Dedication Meetings, hosted at a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma, home of Billy Brim Ministries. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out how you can get your copy of this anointed series today.
We got to know how to become a glorious church, how to position ourselves to be a glorious church. We're finding out we are the glorious church. Good news. You're finding out you're champions. Good news. You're finding all these things out, but then we got to how to become. So Mom got this book out, and Candy and I went and spent two or three days with her. And I just want to start out with this. And this is how the Lord's going to have me do it. He's going to have me do it different today. This is written by a guy who died. He had a car wreck in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and he was dead for 8 hours. His name's Richard Sigmund. This book is out there available. It is an amazing book on heaven. They were taking him to embalm him, 8 hours, and the doctor was there when he rose up, and the doctor said, the dead man's alive. That's what he said. He said, I pronounced him dead hours ago. And he goes, I'm not dead, and I got some things to say. And he began to say it, and everybody there, all the doctors, nurses, began to weep. And it was amazing. So I just want you here, Terry, just in case you have some input on this. Because I feel like you might. Well, that's what I used to say. Anyway, here's what Richard Sigmund said. He said, the most beautiful spot in heaven, the throne room of God was the most beautiful spot in heaven. During my second visit to the throne room, I was taken to an area that I had not noticed during my first visit because I had been so overwhelmed by the presence of God, I was to even experience more this time. In this area, there were what appeared to be rooms in a high-arched cathedral that were all along a side wall across from a living statue of the Lord Jesus. Again, the statue was alive. Everything is alive in heaven. It moved and it spoke. I have no way of explaining it. I can only tell you what I witnessed in the best way I know how to do it. And he goes, the rooms had arched entrances that led into a large area that was totally private, and there I saw my name, Richard of the family of Sigmund, and under it these words, the covenant of Jehovah and the redeemed of the Lamb. I was shaking and unable to make even a sound. Sometimes silence is golden. On a beautiful pulpit-like structure was a book that looked like a Bible. It was signed across the front of these words, my covenant will not break. I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. That's what it said across this book. I was astonished, and I was reminded of the shed blood of the Lord and the price he paid to redeem me. And again, I wept uncontrollably. The book opened by itself, and then suddenly Jesus was there by my side. And he said, as he's pointing to this book, this is my plan for your life. And I will honor it as long as you honor it and live under my Father's demand for your life. I will honor it. I fell at his feet and I cried, holy is the Lord my God. Now watch this next, what he says next. And I never knew the power of covenant. This is a preacher. And I never knew the power of covenant in that realm before. And I will never forget it. It shall stand for eternity. And he never knew the power of covenant. And Jesus said, this is my plan. This is the plan for your life in this book right here. And I'll honor it as long as you honor it. Amen? What was he talking? Legality. He's talking legal. Covenant is legal. You honor this system and God's ways of doing things, and I'll honor it. It'll come to pass. Your destiny will come to pass. And it's a good one. You know what the Jews said about that book? That book, it's written in Psalm 139 about that book. And here's what they said. So I went to the Telehim. I looked up what they said, and here is what it said about that book. God is all apparent as it is written in this book that he talks about in Genesis 5. This is the account of the descendants of Adam. While Adam was still unshaped form, the Creator showed him all the generations of his descendants. Every generation and its leaders, every generation and its scholars, every generation and its preachers. In addition, God revealed to Adam the number of their years, days, and hours. He even counted out before Adam the number of steps every man is destined to take. Your name's in that book. Written across of it, my covenant, my words will I never break. How come it don't feel like really God's, you know? I mean, come on, all of us can say that, right? How come I had to go through this? How come I had to go through that? Do you think anything that God preordained or put in that book was bad? Everything is good. Everything was good. And so the Jews went on to say about this, about the book. Your destiny is in a book already written by God in heaven. They believe it. It's called the Derek, the plan, your path, the way, God's way. If you don't believe it, ask them. They'll tell you. We have 0.0001% of our population. That is what the Jews are in the world. As far as the world's population, that's the number of Jews in the world. 0.00, not even a half, but yet they won 33% of the Nobel Prizes. What does that tell you? That's a crazy, unbelievable, in the natural number that tells you there's a God with a plan and a people who believe it. Don't you think we should believe it? God, Jesus said, I'll honor it. I will honor, say honor. Honor is a legal term. I will honor it. And everything he put in that book for you, it's good, it's blessed. Amen. It's covenant. They said, your destiny is the Almighty, the architect of creation, wrote this book, this blueprint, which records the divine master plan for mankind. God is omniscient. I was pronouncing it wrong. Omniscient. He foresees and knows everything about man, yet man himself has no inkling of his own future, which remains a wonder and a mystery to him. But even more wondrous is the divine paradox. Everything is foreseen by God, yet man has the freedom of choice. Right? He has a will. What was mom talking about last night? He has a will. What got Satan kicked out of heaven? God loved Lucifer. He loved him. He had a plan. He loved him. But his will, right? His pride, not God's ways of doing things, right? Okay, so he gets kicked out of heaven, and yet, here it says, yet man has the freedom of choice. Now, didn't he make man and say, choose? Choose life or death? Choose blessings or curses? It is man, the sinner, who allows darkness and gloom into his life, yet God endowed him with the power of repentance, which he can rekindle the light he obscured and extinguished in his soul. The power of repentance. Now, this man wrote this, and I thought to myself today, and God told me to ask you this question. Has God, the Creator, ever asked you to do something, and it was a difficult decision for you to do it? He said, if that has ever happened, now, this is not getting on you 101. This is coaching 101. This is to help build you up. And he said to me this. He's talking to me. And there's times in my life that it's happened. And there was times in my life where it looked impossible. And everybody says, what are you going to do? And we went. He said, in those times you were covenant-minded, but in those other times you were not covenant-minded. If it was ever a difficult decision for you, you were not covenant-minded. Pride was involved, not humility. He said, clothe yourself when you approach me. Not pride. And he says, you got to become covenant-minded. Well, all this came about where I said, God, I want to teach these people, this church. I don't want to just have a sermon and, oh, that was a good word, Pastor, and we go out and eat and and then we don't remember that. I don't want that. I'm not here for that. I'm not about that. I'm not about it when I'm coaching. Oh, have a good year, have a good season, keep your job security. Bull butter, no. We're winning. What's it? What's the prize? What's the winner get? Just like David said. What's the winner get? The king's daughter. Well, is she hot? I've been with these sheep a long time. Don't read into that. He's just been, you know, David, he like, anyway. So, he didn't say that. We don't know if he said that. He probably did ask if she was hot. He wanted his brothers to see, but anyway. So, anyway, I said, God, I was just sitting there thinking, who would I have loved to have coached? I was thinking, I got all kinds, you guys have heard stories that I've told about players that I've coached. And who would I have loved to coach in the biblical days? And of course, David pops up. You'd love to coach David. There's no fear. Giant, lion, bear. Are you kidding? Yeah, I want him on my team. And then I started thinking of Abraham, who was fully convinced and totally persuaded. And that's the kind of guy you want. You actually want a guy that if there was a brick wall that and you asked him to move it, he's seriously thinking we can move it at least an inch. We'll move it. And I've had players like that. And I was thinking about these two guys, and the Lord started talking to me about they were covenant-minded. And if in order for you to teach this and get your people to be like this and to see and obey like this and whatever God says, your son, okay. Sacrifice? Yeah, sure. Well, at first, Abram was not like that, right? And so he said, the Lord said to me, you got to teach them to become covenant-minded. And so what I'm going to do, because I want to get somewhere, I'm going to kind of go over this part. But the Lord was dealing with me on focusing in on something. Sometimes as ministers, we'll get to a subject, and that subject's really good. But if you understand, if you focus and dial in even more, that will even more light will come upon that. They heard a case study from a preacher about, and they shared it with me, and it was about the four wars that our country had been in, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, World War I and II.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from our 2016 building dedication at a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma, the home of Billy Brim Ministries. To grab your own copy, call us at 1-800-972-3447. Visit our website archives of this weekly's broadcast at billybrim.org. Looking for a home church and live in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area? Or just want to visit the home base of Billy Brim Ministries? Come to a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma. We have services at Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Visit our website at agloriouschurch.net or give us a call at 918-371-4589. 918-371-4589.